The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you? I'm listening to the Abu Dhabi do's and the Abu Dhabi don'ts.
Yeah, well, what a thing. I mean, can you imagine treating any other country that way, that they're not allowed to put Israel on their, oh, Gimple, what do we call it? Those Judah uniforms. And yeah, whatever that, and there must be a real name for it. Oh, no.
Well, honey, let's just tell them that we don't need you to put Israel on the map. Israel is firmly on the map, and we will show you just how much we are staying there with a sharp kvatz and smack to the neck and taking first on the
I don't think a kvatz is a Judah term. I don't know. I'm not an expert at this at all. But, right, yeah, exactly. And I don't think patz.
It's a Yiddish
think,
term.
I don't think
that's
a patz.
Right,
a patzim ponim is one either. Either way, Rolene, it's quite incredible. I guess what this does do is make those of us who have never followed judo in our lives suddenly vested in the story, because suddenly it's important for us.
Well, it's definitely an Abu Dhabi do. Mm-hmm. And we'll be watching closely, and you can rest assured that we'll be singing straight along with him, because he will be standing on that podium singing Hatikva.
Absolutely right. Let's just talk about the Austrian situation.
Well, this is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. Netanyahu, as does a leader of a country, wished the winner of the election, the 31-year-old winner, Kurz, who Wunderwurzi, his name is Sebastian Kurz. He has previously met with Netanyahu. In fact, he met him earlier this year, mm-hmm. and the prime minister called him to congratulate him on his victory. But the big concern for us is the coalition government that the Austrians now have to form. And coming in second place is the Anti-Migrant Freedom Party, which, according to Ronald Lauder, is full of racists and xenophobes. And looking at their history, in fact, when they won 20 years ago, they turned Austria into a pariah in the world, because it was deja vu, having a Nazi type party in power again. And unfortunately, Kurz now has to form a coalition with this government. And
so would you say, Rolene, that he is actually lesser of the two evils?
He is the lesser of the two evils, but he is still very, very much in the leaning towards the right. He's very conservative. He has been voted in on the anti-immigration bill. Netanyahu has invited him to visit Israel again. He was last here as foreign minister in May 2016. And reportedly in this call, Prime Minister Netanyahu said, or reminded him, and you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu can be as subtle as a freight train sometimes.
A shark attack, yeah.
Yeah, said to him, Austria, I would have said as subtle as nuclear war, but we don't discuss nukes when it comes to Israel.
Right, nor nuclear energy here in South Africa, but that's another whole subject.
Oh gosh, you know, it makes me want to do some kind of shuffle or dance or something like that. He reminded him of this, saying that Austria has done a lot in recent years to preserve the memory of the Holocaust and its fight against anti-Semitism. So in other words, we are watching you closely. And he said that, you know, he raised the issue again about Iran and Iranian aggression, because we are coming up to possibly a Europe versus Trump and Netanyahu issue around the Iranian agreement. And the new Chancellor Kurz said that he's very interested in boosting Austrian ties with Israel. So, yeah, watch the space. But Netanyahu was very, very mum when it came to issues of the coalition and his partner that he does have to form a coalition with, which is the Freedom Party.
Do you think that once again Netanyahu is taking a leaf out of Trump's book? We know that Trump was criticized quite heavily for his lack of response, or his perplexing responses in some ways, to the ultra-right wing in the United States. Do you think that this is a lesson learned for Netanyahu?
Well, I think this is this has other strategic issues at play. Iran is an issue. I think too much criticism when it comes to forming global alliances in the international arena has to be taken into consideration. So I think it's a very, very difficult position for somebody like Prime Minister Netanyahu to be in. And one of the big issues that we will have once this coalition is formed is that the Freedom Party leader, Heinz Christian Strache, who also has been to Israel but was denied meetings with senior officials, has expressed his desire to either become interior minister, which that of course would enable him to boost his anti-immigration mandate, or the foreign ministry. I mean, could you imagine the discomfort having to host somebody of this kind in Israel when their past is so tangled up with Nazis? And he said that it's naivety when it comes to discussing the toxicity around the party's Nazi past and now neo-Nazi past.
So concerning what is happening all across Europe. Let's just talk about Fatah and Hamas for a moment. One of our listeners yesterday posed the question, I think it was Eric, he wanted to understand, is this good for Israel? What does Israel have to say about this, these talks, these reconciliation talks? Where are we with this?
Well, because we have such lovely listeners, and Eric, I took your request to heart and did my research today. Israel is taking a very, very restrained approach to this. It was due to be discussed in the meeting of the Knesset yesterday and was taken off the agenda. So Israel has taken much more of a very, very restrained. In fact, Israel has not opined much, and Israeli journalists have not given much of the Israeli perspective as yet. But Israel has become or taken a more of a diplomatic tone in saying that we will follow the developments on the ground and will act accordingly. They have said that any kind of terror efforts by Hamas and their ilk will not be tolerated, and that they have to, or any reconciliation deal needs to meet the conditions of the Middle East Quartet, which is comprised of the UN, US, EU, and Russia, which requires Hamas to recognize Israel and disarm itself. So from our perspective, we are being very, very cautious and waiting to see how this develops. But Israel has also warned that there cannot be continued building of tunnels or rockets and the exporting of terror against Israel. They must comply with the quartet. And we watch the space very, very, I think, with a lot of trepidation.
I guess it makes sense for Israel just to step back and see how this develops, because to insert themselves into the story is no good can come out of it. It's really a lose-lose situation.
And absolutely. And as I said yesterday, my concern is that this is Hamas's bid to try and normalize relations with most of the world that recognizes the organization as a terror organization. I think that they are very, very strategically trying to maneuver themselves to be seen as more legitimate. We've seen it in recent months with them attempting to change their charter by softening some of the words, now saying that they are happy to reconcile with Fatah, but we know the animal with whom we deal.
Absolutely, we certainly do, and of course Israel knows who they're dealing with in Syria as well. The strike on Syria yesterday, has there been a fallout with regard to that strike at all?
Well, Syria claims that they struck an Israeli aircraft, and we know that this isn't the case. But in case you didn't know, what happened is yesterday Israel struck an anti-aircraft missile battery in Syria, and not only is it a tactical or military victory for us, because you don't know what anti-missile aircraft batteries can do to planes, but also it sends a very, very clear message to Syria and to Hezbollah and to Iran that we are not going to shy away collecting intelligence. We're not going to shy away from defending ourselves. This is a warning to Hezbollah, who are rattling the sabers, who are practicing and who are showing kinds of maneuverings towards another conflagration with the Jewish state. And Prime Minister Netanyahu also released a video yesterday, and he says our policy is very, very clear. Anyone who tries to hurt us, we will hurt them. Today they tried to hit our planes, and this is not acceptable to us. And he congratulated Chel Avir, the Air Force, for preempting this and acting with precision and swiftness and destroying what needed to be destroyed.
Rolene, yesterday we spoke quite extensively about the UNESCO situation, but late last night, and in fact we didn't discuss this earlier today, Hillel Noya from UN Watch put a post on social media where he says, I kid you not, the United Nations has just elected Qatar, Congo and Pakistan as world judges on human rights, joining Saudi Arabia, Cuba and Venezuela. Once again, the UN is asking the foxes to guard the chickens. Has there been any reaction to the appointment of Qatar, Congo, and Pakistan to the Human Rights Commission?
Well, as you can, first of all, kol hakavod to Hillel Noya. I know Hillel personally. He is just as wonderful and gracious as a person as the work that he does. And kol hakavod to him, because the world could do with more Hillel Noyas.
Absolutely.
We have heard from the phenomenal, another fantastic and well-shod lady, Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, has also condemned this. There have been murmurings, will we see the United States pull out of the United Nations Human Rights Commission as well? And it seems that agency by agency by agency, there seems to be this kind of either flagrant corruption, anti-Semitism. I mean, another agency that we discuss quite often, Howard, is UNRWA. The kind of incitement and hatred that they propagate in their textbooks, to me it's child abuse, that they are propagating this kind of incitement, this hatred for generations of Palestinians who are taught, you know, from kindergarten upwards. In fact, the footage of a graduation ceremony at a Gaza kindergarten was flighted on Israeli television last night. I mean, it's just absolutely outrageous. And UNRWA quite happily sit back and allow this to happen and attack Israel time and time and time again. Also, as we know, post Operation Protective Edge, is that they quite happily stocked missiles and rockets in their schools and in their hospitals and in the mosques. They allowed for this to happen. So I think that the whole UN needs a complete overhaul, from UNESCO to the Human Rights Council to UNRWA and probably to other agencies as well. And maybe this is possibly one of the best steps from President Trump to say, you know what, we're not messing around. We mean business. If you're going to continue to act like this, and he has spoken about the body needing to reform, and by body I mean the entire United Nations, that it is not fulfilling its mandate that it was set out to do, the United States will pull out, and United States pulling out of these various bodies pulls out a significant amount of its budget.
Absolutely mind-blowing, but we continue to watch that, and unfortunately people like Hillel Noya are continually needed to try and bring some sanity to the world that is the United Nations. It's absolutely incredible to think that the organization was started in order to try and avoid conflict and ensure that the world never went to war again, and that the disenfranchised were looked after, and look what it has become. Absolutely shameful. Time is 5:28. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. She'll be joining us tomorrow afternoon. Same time, same place. Don't be late.